my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 167 of my 1-2-3 cents the podcast, and this is a late drop because we are analyzing and talking about the Royal Rumble, not just the Royal Rumble, but Royal Rumble weekend. Chad is actually leaving the arena as we speak from the 2018 Royal Rumble. Chad, you had quite a weekend, is that right?
Yeah, I've been in Philadelphia since last Thursday, took in a Flyers game on Thursday, and their minor league team, the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, on Saturday night, instead of going to NXT. And then Friday night, I went to the House of Hardcore show. Saturday afternoon, went to the Icon, which is a wrestling convention, where I got to meet the Four Horsemen, including Mongo, which... the less said, the better. I didn't even recognize Mondo. I actually had to ask the person in line behind me, why is this old creepy guy standing up there at the Horseman? And he's like, that's Mondo. And I'm like, oh, that's too bad. Because Paul Roma, Dean Malenko, and Lex Luger were also in the other room. They weren't up there, and I would have rather seen them up there than Mondo. Anyway, yes, I did the convention. And then today, Sunday, I did the Chikara Season 9 kickoff show at the Chikara Wrestle Factory, which was an interesting venue. And then as soon as that was over, headed down to the Wells Fargo Center for Royal Rumble and got to my seat halfway through the Cruiserweight six-man tag pre-show match.
Okay, well, we will get to the Royal Rumble. We'll make that our main event for this because I do want to talk to you about some of the other things that you did wrestling-related. Okay, so, of course, you mentioned the House of Hardcore show, and that was actually at the ECW Arena, is that right?
Yeah, for those that don't know, House of Hardcore is Tommy Dreamer's promotion. It's been around, I believe, for about 3 years. This was House of Hardcore 37, and they have a new deal with Twitch. They air, I think, a weekly show on Twitch, and then this show was broadcast live for free. I'm not that familiar with Twitch, but Tommy Dreamer, at one point, when he was talking after his match, he said, you know, back in the old ECW days, this guy came up to me and said, I want to see ECW. I don't have any money. You know, can you help me out? And so Tommy gave him a job of helping unload T-shirts. And then flash forward to today, this guy now works for Twitch. And he called Tommy up and said, hey, I want to help House of Hardcore. You know, let's get a deal on Twitch. So
wow.
I think the lesson there is, you know, just be kind to anybody you meet. And, you know, if someone does something good to you, pay it forward. So
that's right.
A little life lesson. House of Hardcore, they were doing a tournament to crown their Twitch TV champion. So all the matches were the first round matches. And then there was a tag team match. Magnus, now known as Dick Aldis, the current NWA champion, and Joey Mercury took on Tommy Dreamer and I'm forgetting who his partner was.
That's okay. It's a senior moment. Who was it?
What's that? I know Shane Douglas was in the corner of the other team.
Too many chair shots, folks. Chad has had
too many chair shots. Shane Douglas was in the corner of the bad guys, and then Tommy Dreamer was going to it was Billy Gunn was his tag team partner.
Okay.
They were going to have a mystery partner as their, in their corner. And so Shane Douglas also came out with a guy who was supposed to be from the Pennsylvania Sports Authority, and he deemed that this would not be a hardcore match. It had to just be a strict wrestling match. And so then the Blue Meanie comes out, and this guy's like, oh, look at, what a surprise. Tommy Dreamer brings a fat, out of shape, couldn't work wrestler from the past out as his mystery guest. And I said I needed was clothes. No, I'm just driving around Pennsylvania on a joyride at the moment. Blue Meanie's like, no, I'm not the mystery guest. I just came here for the cheap pop and the catering. And then he's like, but this is the mystery partner. And then Bully Ray came out. And during the match, the Sandman also came out and got involved. So for as an ECW fan, being in the ECW arena, seeing Dreamer, Sandman, Bully Ray, or Bubba Ray Dudley, and Blue Meanie, it was quite the spectacle. The other matches were good matches. They flowed. As soon as one was done, they went right into the next match. All of them had 10-minute time limits. Austin Aries and Matt Riddle went to double bonus 5-minute overtime. It was a good show overall. I'm not that familiar with House of Hardcore, but I would definitely be interested in checking them out for a future show.
What's your overall impression of the ECW arena? Because that was the first time you'd been there, is that right?
Yeah, and the guy that was sitting next to me, he had moved out here, I think, a couple months ago from New York, and we got talking. He's like, yeah, this is the old ECW arena, right? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, it looks a lot different. I'm like, yeah, I think they've done a lot of remodeling, and it is a very nice place. I can't compare it to what it was in the old days, but yeah, they don't have the bleachers, they don't have the crow's nest area that they used to have. So overall, it's a nice venue. The next day, the convention was also there, and I think it was a little small for the size of the convention because they had Ric Flair out in the lobby, and his line was stretched back into the main room, and then Sting and Booker T were on the side, and their line was stretched back.
So are other companies kind of capitalizing on Royal Rumble weekend now, much like they've done with WrestleMania weekend?
I don't think so, because House of Hardcore and Chikara, which both have Philadelphia as a home base, were really the only two shows that I know of that were running. Ring of Honor didn't come in, Beyond, I'm trying to think of what other.
So it just kind of happened to be in their backyard, basically, so they figure why not have matches, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm sure the convention was set up this weekend to take advantage of all the fans that would be in town.
Now, you met the Spirit Squad and the Four Horsemen. Did you get to meet anybody else, do photo ops with anyone else while you were at the Legends thing?
I didn't do photo ops. Like I said, I did the Spirit Squad. Mikey and Kenny both wrestled on the House of Hardcore show. And I got to say, Kenny, I think, could walk back into either Impact or WWE right now and be a good upper mid-card star.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's got that going for him. And then I got the photo with him, as you posted on Instagram and posted on Facebook. When we went to WrestleMania 22, we dressed as the Spirit Squad. So I felt like I needed to get their photo. And they're really nice guys. And then, other than that, I don't buy photo opportunities that often, unless it's someone that, like the Four Horsemen was someone like I just felt, given Flair's recent health scare and everything, like I needed to meet him if I had the opportunity. Real quick to your question. No, I walked around the convention quite a bit because I didn't know what time the Horsemen meeting was going on. So I got there and found out I had like 3 hours to kill. And then, so I walked around. I met Teddy Long, and he, started talking to me, and I shook his hand. I'm do you want anything? And I'm like, I'm kind of browsing at the moment. I'll probably be back. I was not back. That's the lie. I will never be back because I don't.
Teddy's not listening, I'm sure, so you're safe.
Yeah, if he would have tried to put me into a tag team match, that would have been cool, unless it was against The Undertaker. But I saw a lot of people, but I didn't talk to anybody. Because, again, I don't want to not have to say...
Right. There's almost an expectation when you talk to these guys, like they want you to buy something.
Yeah.
Did you get to talk to the horseman at all while you were doing the photo op, or was it one of those things like a cattle drive where they bring you in and they just keep moving people through?
Yeah, it was like it was an autograph session and then a photo op. And so Tully, JJ, R, and Barry were back at their own table inside the venue. And I went up to them first and just tried to get their autographs before the lines got too busy. And so I got JJ and Tully first, and I just said, thanks, guys. And they're just like, thanks. Okay. Like, there wasn't a lot of interaction. And then when I was waiting on Barry, he was texting. And then he finally looked up. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry to keep you waiting. I'm like, no, I didn't want to interrupt your text. Like, cool. And Arn was just kind of like, they're all just kind of like, oh, thanks for coming out. But nothing. And then the photo op was next. And that was, you just kind of go through and stand there, and everybody throws up the four fingers, and then you're like, okay, cool. Next person. Then after that was the Flair autograph signing. And when I got in there, I was like, because he was signing, like, he just took my poster and started signing it. And I told him, I just want to say, my first wrestling show, I saw you take on Harley Race in a small gym in Illinois, high school gym. And I just want to say thank you for, making me a fan. And he looked up at me and was like, oh, thanks. Thank you. And so that was the extent of it. So I would say overall, like, it was an experience that I am glad that I did. But it wasn't, it could have been better. But then again, I'm sure every fan that meets them wants to sit and talk for a half hour. And
right.
Just be like, oh, remember that time you did this? And but yeah, it was fine for what it was.
Sure, absolutely. And then, now, was this was also your first time going to the Chikara Wrestle Factory, right?
Yeah, the Chikara Wrestle Factory, I believe, opened, like, where they are now, because I know they used to run their school out of the ECW arena, but I think 2 years ago they opened up a permanent training facility, and they do all their shows there, and this year they announced all the shows that they do there will be streamed live on the Chikaratopia. Cheap plug. And so, yeah, it's interesting. It's in the middle of just a neighborhood. Other than the Chikara logo on the outside, there's nothing to really give it any distinction. And it is a very small place. Bleachers on two sides of the ring, about five or six rows of chairs on the side opposite the entranceway, and then no chairs on the entranceway. But it was a good crowd as a sellout. Apparently, I missed a lot last season because there were storylines with clones, and this one girl is now controlling all the sea creatures. So, I was a little confused. If any first-time Chikara viewer tuned into today's show, they would probably have a lot of questions.
Understandable. So, okay, obviously, we've traveled to WrestleMania several times. You've been to the Survivor Series. You've been to SummerSlam because it's been out there at the Staples Center for several years. What made you finally decide to go to Philadelphia, travel, almost all the way across the country for the Royal Rumble this year?
One, as you said, I've never been to a Royal Rumble, so I wanted to do that. I hadn't a feeling that they would be doing a women's Rumble, given how they've built up the women's division over the last year. And, I'm on this quest to see a game at every hockey arena, and I missed the Philadelphia trip last year. So I figured with the Flyers playing on Thursday, Rumble on Sunday, find something to do Friday and Saturday. It was a good timing, and luckily the weather was decent. So it just everything's kind of worked out.
It all worked out. So you were obviously there. I want to do a quick shout out to Amy and Luke Lay. They invited me to their Royal Rumble party. They do a party. They've done it every year since 2002, and they have a great spread of food. They do a whole contest. They've got the hopper thing that they had back in the day where they spin it around. You draw your numbers out of the little plastic clear balls. And they did it for the women this year, too. They had a separate little thing going on. So a big thanks to them. I did not win. My picks were Big E and Dolph Ziggler and Ember Moon and Jacqueline, and we'll talk about the Rumble in a minute. Also, the My 1-2-3 Cents Royal Rumble contest. Obviously, we are recording this immediately after the Rumble, so I have not had time to go through and analyze everything. I will announce the winners on the Facebook page. I almost said the MySpace page. I'll announce it on the Facebook page this week, I promise. Hopefully by Monday afternoon, maybe Tuesday at the latest, but we will announce the winners and get the prizes distributed accordingly. But Chad, tell me a little bit, because I got to the party a little late, and I didn't start watching until the actual show started, so I missed the kickoff. You said you got there right as the cruiserweight match was going on, is that right?
Yeah, that was the first match. And I was just going to say real quick, your MySpace faux pas. you know, with all the throwbacks tonight, you might want to announce it on the MySpace page. That might actually be keeping with the style.
That's true.
So the six-man cruiserweight match was first, and again, it was probably about what you would expect for a six-man cruiserweight match. It was decent. The crowd was still filing in, so there weren't a lot of people in the arena. I just knew that my seat was in the middle of the row, so as soon as I got in, I grabbed food and went there because I knew that I would not be getting up for the rest of the show. It was a decent match. Nothing to write home about, and nothing spectacular that I could even think of happening.
Was that the only match on the kickoff?
No, there were three matches on the kickoff.
Oh wow!
The second one was a rematch from Raw 25, where the Good Brothers took on the Revival.
Okay. I wondered where those guys were in the Rumble. Okay, that makes sense, and they were on the pre-show.
Yeah, and the Good Brothers of the Club were not announced with a name.
They were not announced with a name?
Yeah, like the Club or...
Oh, gotcha.
Anything like that? And then the WWE 50-50 booking kicked in, and because the Good Brothers won on Monday, the Revival won on won tonight.
Sure.
And then the last pre-show match was the U.S. title open challenge. Bobby Roode said he would defend against whoever came out, and then Mojo Riley came out, Riley came out, and the guy sitting next to me, we both joked, like, if this was the level of expectation for surprises tonight, we were looking forward to it, yeah.
Okay, I saw the beginning of that match. Who ended up winning that?
Bobby Roode.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and I was surprised, and we'll talk about it when we get to the men's match, I was surprised that Bobby Roode was not in that match, but we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. So the show kicks off, or once the kickoff is over with, and we get to the meat of the show, and it's they start off with the gosh, now I'm pulling a chat here. What was the kickoff match? I don't even remember.
The first one was the SmackDown title match.
Okay, yeah, that's right. So the fantasy booking, of course. We talked about this via text the other day, and you planted a seed in my head, and I ran with it and made myself look like a fool publicly. But Sammy or Kevin Owens winning, Cammy as we call them, and then Daniel Bryan gets into the Rumble. But of course, that didn't happen. Were you surprised AJ won?
A little, just because, again, fantasy booking. Trying to think of what scenario could be. But overall, because what happened in the Rumble is what I kind of expected to happen. So I was not surprised for AJ to win. I'm curious to see where this leads, though, because they're doing more. Kevin Owens complaining about the referees screwing them out of their shot, and And yeah, the, you know, Kevin was not the legal man and got pinned in the match, so he has a valid point. But I'm curious to see where they're going, and I think they need to make sure they're going somewhere decent and hopefully not where the rumored path is leading them.
Okay. I haven't heard that, so I guess we'll wait and see if it's true.
Rumored path is Sami and Kevin fighting again.
Oh, sure.
So, you know, break up the team that you just put together.
So. Of course, of course. So, tell me also, because the next match, I was surprised by it. I didn't realize it was the best two out of three for starters, but I really thought that that Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin were going to beat the Usos, and not only did they not win, but they lost back-to-back falls.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of two out of three fall matches, so I was not looking forward to it. I was kind of hoping that it would be two straight falls, but I was surprised that the Usos won. Chad Gable, I feel kind of bad for him. He was part of one of the hottest teams at NXT. It's getting called up to the main roster. You know, American Alpha really didn't do much, and then Jason Jordan finds out that he's Kurt Angle's son and just leaves Gable to the wayside. And, the team with Shelton Benjamin just, I mean, it's a decent team, but I think it's like American Alpha 2.0, and the fans aren't really buying into it, and then they haven't done anything with them either, so.
Yeah, I actually like Shelton Benjamin in that role more than Jason Jordan, so if we call him American Alpha 2.0, I like the 2.0 version better, just because I have always been a huge fan of Shelton Benjamin's. But you're right. They have not done anything creatively with them, I don't think, to kind of elevate them and take them to that next level. And, of course, there's also the rumor and innuendo that they, too, will also end up, going at it, too. But I like that they match now with their ring attire. And I thought the match was pretty good, actually. I actually enjoyed that match, so... But I think the Usos have been a team that I've kind of slept on for a long time. And really, when you look at some of these, go back and look at some of these matches that they've been involved with, they've been some of the better matches on the card. So the Usos really have come a long way since debuting back, I think, in 2010. So props to the Usos and to Benjamin and Gable. But the... probably, in my opinion, the biggest surprise of the night was the placement of the next match, and that was the men's Royal Rumble match. How'd the crowd seem with that?
It didn't seem like there was much reaction to the placement of the match. I think this is something I'd read on Twitter during the show, they didn't, as far as I know, they never announced that the women's Rumble match was going to be the main event.
Right.
I think it made sense, given what happened, and kind of to give it that historic moment.
Sure.
Letting it headline. So, I was surprised because I thought maybe the Raw tag team match had gotten pulled because there are reports that both Sheamus and Jordan are injured.
Uh-huh.
So, I thought, okay, maybe they... You know, and then putting the title match, the three-way title match, in between the Rumbles made sense to kind of cool off. But I was surprised that the Rumble men's match was so early in the show.
Yeah. What was your overall, like, you know, number one being Rusev, number two, I'm drawing a blank again.
Two was Finn Balor.
Finn Balor, of course. A lot of people at the party I was at thought Finn Balor was going to go all the way, and it looked like he was there for a little bit.
I will just say, first off, you know, maybe it's just because it's an easy catchphrase, whatever, but I think Rusev is immensely over right now, and it would be wise of WWE to capitalize on that. And with Finn, I was thinking, and this actually, you know, came into play a little later in the match, during the little promo with the package, you know, counting down all the stats and everything. They made mention that Rey Mysterio has the longest time in the Rumble match at 62 minutes, which I'm sorry, I know he has the record, but that's a horrible Rumble match because all he, in Triple H, laid down for like probably a good 40 minutes of the match. So, stupid law. But I, there were rumors that Impact has been trying to sign Rey Mysterio. So I really thought, yeah, Balor was going in at number two and would last the entire time to get to set a new record so that they wouldn't have to promote Rey as being the Iron Man of the Rumble.
Yeah. Which obviously we know that's not necessarily the case, as he was one of a handful of surprises. What were your overall thoughts? I guess we could call Rey a surprise, the Hurricane a surprise. Do you throw the NXT guys in there?
The NXT champion, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Starts with an A.
Andre Almas. Like that. And we didn't even touch on NXT for the weekend, but we can do that later, possibly.
Well, you didn't attend NXT, right?
I didn't attend. I did watch it once I got home, when I went back to the hotel Saturday night. And I will just quickly say I had zero expectation going into the show, and that's why I didn't go to it. But it's probably one of the best takeovers in the last year.
Wow, I've watched about half of it, so it was good.
Yeah. So the surprises this year. You know, I think it makes sense for the NXT champions to be in the Rumble. Give them that little bit of, one, exposure, and two, possibility of going to WrestleMania. The Mysterio coming out was a genuine surprise because, as I said, the last night I had seen, Impact was trying to sign him. And the Hurricane, I know he made a play for the 205 Live general manager position last week on Twitter, but he was working with Impact up till a few months ago. I love me some Hurricane. I don't think that you can see it on camera, but if you go back and watch No Mercy 2001, there's an idiot in the crowd dressed as the Hurricane before they started marketing Hurricane t-shirts and masks. And that may have been me, but I'm not going to say that it was, because Secret Identity.
What's up with that?
What up with that? And that's what I said when he got eliminated. What up with that? You can't treat Hurricane like that. Overall, the surprises, I think, in with the Rumble, this is probably one of, if not the best Rumbles, I would say, in the last 10 years.
Really? So you were that impressed with the overall presentation of the Rumble?
Yeah, I thought it was laid out pretty well to get, Rusev in first so that Aiden English can do his thing. Baron Corbin coming in and then getting eliminated early was great, and then laying everybody out so that Elias had his chance to do his shtick. And it just, like I said, there was no goofy moments, like, the Rumble that you went to where all the announcers got into it.
Yes.
And stuff like that. Like, it there wasn't, with the exception of maybe Hurricane and Goldust, I say, but Goldust is on the main roster. There wasn't a lot of filler in this Rumble.
Right. What was your overall? Because I felt like this is probably, and I mean, I don't have anything to back it up, and I actually did not get on social media at all tonight because we were running about 20 to 30 minutes behind on the viewing, and I didn't want to see any spoilers. I guess they're not really spoilers at that point, but I didn't want anything to be ruined. I feel like this was the longest Final Four and Final Two we've seen in the Royal Rumble in a long, if ever, but maybe in a long time at least.
Yeah, and I was texting my friend Travis, texting me throughout the thing, he was watching, and he's like, he thought the Final Four was really good, was really laid out well, and everything. And I said, I thought it went on too long, but that's also because I didn't care about any of the Final Four.
Right.
So, not that I didn't care who won at that point, but I also think having Cena and Reigns in there was, was that trolling the audience because these are probably the two most hated guys? Like, 28 other guys could have won this Rumble, and everybody probably would have cheered. But if these two guys, either of these guys won, I think the place would have gone ballistic.
Yeah.
And then having Reigns as like the final two with Nakamura, it was a little scary at times. You're like, no, they're not going to be that stupid, are they? But then you're like, oh, this is WWE. I can see them being this stupid. I think it was really well laid out, and I think both the crowd, the NXT crowd on Saturday and tonight's crowd, were really, really into everything, which made it good. Like, and they wanted Nakamura to win, and when he did, the place went crazy. But hopefully someone was listening in the back to the chance that Reigns and Cena were getting to be like, you know, these aren't the guys, they're bad, but they're just not the guys that fans want to see on top. With the exception, I will say, every kid that was sitting around me was cheering for Roman Reigns.
Yeah. Well, do you also think, though, that, you know, you've got Finn Balor and Shinsuke Nakamura, who are not rookies by any means, but by the WWE universe they are, in there against Reigns and Cena, do you think that was a way to kind of give them a little bit of the rub and not necessarily pass the torch, but show that, you know, these two guys that came from, the indies are hanging with two of the biggest stars in WWE right now?
Yeah, that could be. And overall, I think it was, the match was laid out very well. So I think, yes, I think Nakamura does come off as a bigger star than he's really been presented in the last few months.
Yeah.
So, and, I hope AJ doesn't lose the title before WrestleMania. I still see that match happening as, like, the opener.
Yeah.
For WrestleMania. But that's the match that fans want to see, so maybe this is a time where WWE is actually listening to what fans are asking.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, even at when we were both at Money in the Bank back in June in St. Louis, the fans were chanting for that because there was a brief interaction between AJ and Shinsuke. So do you think they'll still go with Lesnar and Roman then for the Universal Championship?
Sadly, yes.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're going to do. And I guess on the one hand, good for them for actually having a long-term plan. Although, when I look back at past WrestleManias that had a long-term plan, you could see seeds being planted for those matches. Lesnar and Reigns, it seems like it's a match that's just going to get thrown together.
Yeah. I agree. So, could you see, I'm not sure how well you could see from where you were, did you see the pancake spot with Kofi?
I did. I was on that side of the ring. I didn't see Kofi get eliminated or, attempt to. I just saw, all of a sudden, I saw Xavier Woods slide into place.
Yeah.
And prop him up, and then the spot with the pancake. And, I thought that was really what was creative. It played into the New Day's current shtick. It just, Kofi has come. I think last year he really didn't do anything creative to stay in. So this was more of a return to form for him. And I think that's a spot that fans are really, really look forward to each.
I apologize now because I don't remember if, and you'll probably remember, I don't remember if it was the Skullbuster WrestleCast or if it was Pro Wrestling Unscripted, but one of the hosts on one of those shows had said that Kofi was their guy that they wanted to see win it and go on to face AJ. And, Kofi has done a lot in WWE, and I kind of tend to agree with that, although I don't think the timing is right now, but, his spots in the Rumble are always fun, and, we commented on that at the party as we were watching it, that he, I thought as soon as I saw Big E and Xavier get eliminated, I figured they were getting in position to save Kofi somehow, and that is what happened. Ty Dillinger, of course, number 10, ended up getting attacked by Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn taking his spot in the Rumble match. I was kind of surprised we didn't see Owens come out for any of the match either.
Right, and this goes back to where our fantasy booking mind kicks in, because I expected Owens to take somebody else out and get into the match himself, and then number 30, both Sammy and Kevin to be in the match when number 30 hits, and then, you know, number 30, the countdown hits, the crowd goes silent for a second, and then Daniel Bryan's music hits, and Bryan comes out to try to, you know, get rid of Sammy and Owens from the match.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, fantasy booking is, you know, without knowing what the status of Daniel Bryan's
right
injuries are, you know, we can fantasy book all day, and it's never going to change if he's never going to be cleared.
Right.
But I was really surprised after number 30 came out that we never saw Owens. That was just kind of, and I was, you know, the fact that Sammy got eliminated fairly quickly after coming in, like, I don't feel like there's any real play, and I, you know, without having commentary or anything, I didn't know if there was something said, like, oh, Owens has been escorted out of the building, so he can't come in, or...
I don't recall them. I mean, we were all kind of talking and whatnot during, but I don't recall them specifically bringing anything else up with Kevin Owens.
Yeah, so that I think is a little, you know, the story kind of got dropped there, but
yeah, a little bit. So, and the other point I was going to make too, and I have not, you know, for those of you who are not from Southern Illinois and are listening. We talked about it last week, the gala event that I was a part of for Hospice of Southern Illinois. We've had practices, and I honestly have not had as much time to keep up with wrestling. So I knew that Dolph Ziggler basically laid the U.S. title in the middle of the ring and walked out, and that's why they set up the tournament, and he kind of left. So when he popped back in as number 30, you know, the announcers were surprised, but there was, like, I feel like that return could have been better served as maybe answering the Bobby Roode challenge or in some other way, but having him in that spot at number 30 just seemed kind of a waste to me.
Yeah, had he come back and won the Rumble, might have made sense.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting because if I remember correctly, when his music hit, the crowd cheered and was excited, which was the whole point of him leaving, was not feeling appreciated by the crowd.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that story, again, is another one that probably did not, part two of the story wasn't well executed.
And if he would have won the Rumble, I would have walked away with $100 tonight, so I would have appreciated that as well. But do you have any other thoughts or comments on the men's match?
Let me think. Anything else? I'm just going to say, much like I said with Rusev at the beginning, I think Elias is way more over than I realized or expected him ever to be.
Yeah.
So that's another one that I think WWE should, you know, really look at what they have there and make sure they have something for him going forward. It was a well laid out match. I did say, I called Nakamura winning the Rumble, I think a month ago when we did my Sixth Sense. I'm not disappointed that he won. I'm not happy because I'm still not on the Nakamura train.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad we're not going to Mania this year, but for the fans that are fans of his, I'm, you know, enjoy him getting a title match. So we'll see what happens with him. I still, you know, maybe if he becomes champion, I'll finally jump on board with the bandwagon, but overall though, I think the match, like I said, was really well done. It played up to the strengths of the match. It had emotion throughout the entire thing, and I will say one thing. I don't know if this was the way it was when you went to the Rumble. You know, when the countdown clock hits 10, everybody stands and counts down,
mm-hmm.
and then you cheer for whoever comes out, and then they come to the ring, and you stand for like 90 seconds. Were the men's intervals 90 seconds or 2 minutes?
I think they were 90 seconds.
90 seconds? Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, you would stand for like a minute to watch what happened, and then you would sit down for 20 seconds, and then the countdown clock would start, and then you would stand back up and count down and just repeat this for, I think my section did it for probably the first 13 people, and then finally they're just like, all right, you know what, we're just going to stand the entire time. Like, we're standing and sitting. So if you go to a Rumble, maybe try to get the last row in a section so you can stand the entire time without blocking people behind you. But yeah, it was, I felt like I was in a Catholic in church. I was kneeling, I was standing, I was kneeling, I was standing.
And Sheamus, of course, with the Santino award for the quick exit after helping Heath Slater. I enjoyed that spot too.
Yeah, and I don't know how well it came, if it came off on TV, and if I don't know if you were paying attention to the crowd or not, but when Heath came out and Baron Corbin attacked him,
right?
You know, the section I was in, we started a "He's Got Kids" chant, and then every time he kept getting beat up on the outside, we would, you know, we'd start chanting that again, and I think he got picked up a little bit. And then when he got thrown in and eliminated Sheamus, it was, you know, "You've got kids, you've got kids." It was cheering, and then he quickly got eliminated. Everybody was disappointed, but
yeah, that was fun for sure. Well, then, of course,
Go ahead. Oh, no, I was just gonna say, yeah, I think it, like I said, my opinion from being there live probably helped, but one of the best Rumble matches in the last 10 years.
Well, good. And Sheamus, of course, goes on in the next match to regain the tag team championships with Cesaro, the Bar beating Jason Jordan and Seth Rollins, and kind of alluded to Jordan being injured, and I think he sat out most or all of this match, didn't he?
I believe so, yeah. The Rumble match was so good that whatever followed it was going to suffer.
Yeah.
Because I think everybody like probably went to the bathroom or to get something to drink or eat. I don't think anybody was really paying attention to this, and I think nothing against personally, even though I did tweet out, you know, if a match happens and no one cares about it, what are the odds that it includes 2018 Jason Jordan? Because I think people are kind of sick of the Bar versus Jordan and Seth Rollins, and the Jason Jordan story is kind of muddy to where no one really knows what's going on there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, this match was a complete afterthought. It was just, I looked up at one point and didn't even realize Jordan hadn't been in the match and that he was on the ground. So I don't even know what happened to him. And then he sat on the stairs he tagged himself in.
Yeah.
And then quickly tagged himself back out before doing anything. And then he just sat on the stairs with his back to the match.
Yeah.
And
he got rammed into the outside post is what caused him to be quote unquote injured. So then the next, and I kind of thought the triple threat for the Universal Championship kind of went off like a fart in church too. It was not my favorite match for sure.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. For using weapons and putting people through the announce tables, it just seemed very pedestrian. Like there was really no sense of urgency or sense of even impact and hurty. You know, want to make up a word? It just like, okay, I'm gonna do a move. Okay, now you're gonna do a move. Okay, now let's both do a move. It just, yeah, that one just didn't click with me at all.
It went as everybody expected. You know, Brock getting the pin over Kane to keep Braun Strowman, of course, looking strong, and you know, keeping the belt on Brock Lesnar for WrestleMania.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think that's the other problem is no one expected Brock to lose. And so, I think the people in my section, you know, based on their reactions, enjoyed the match, but I don't think anybody was, you know, it's not going to be in consideration for a match of the night.
Right.
Any stretch of the match. Yeah.
Definitely not. And that takes us to the main event, which was the women's Royal Rumble match. Of course, this is the very first time a women's Royal Rumble match has been held. And correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Sasha and Charlotte Flair main event Hell in a Cell a couple years ago?
Did they main? I don't think they main evented. They could have. I don't remember. I know they obviously were in a match.
Yeah. I felt like the women had main evented one other time on a pay-per-view, but this is obviously the first time one of the big four pay-per-views has had a women's main event. So some history going on there. Stephanie McMahon, of course, the guest commentator, and we kind of joked about this via text earlier in the week. You weren't going to be listening because you're obviously there. She was not annoying heel Stephanie, but she, in my opinion, added zero to the match. You know, she would point out a couple of historic things or a couple of, you know, when a couple of the surprises would come in, and obviously the women had more surprises than the men's because of the depth of the women's roster versus the men's roster, obviously. So what were your impressions or thoughts of the women's match?
You know, the first four entrants, I think, even though you had Sasha and Becky started off, the crowd, and I think this is a not necessarily a knock against the women, but none of the women have deep character. Like, when you start off the men's match with Rusev, who has, you know, now the Rusev Day chant.
Yeah.
Which was plentiful. To throw people out there who, you know, you can chant, let's go Sasha, let's go Becky, and that's about it. There's no connection. So I think after, like, the fourth person entered, third or fourth, you know, I texted our friend Mike, and it's like, they need to send Lana out here soon to get the crowd to chant for Rusev. Otherwise, this is going to be the quietest main event, you know, in some time. And then the next person out was Lita. And the crowd went wild because of the nostalgia factor.
Yeah.
And just being able to chant, Lita, Lita, you know, and you still got it and whatnot. I will say, overall, for the women, and this is, I think, the negative of either a lack of character on the women's part or, for lack of better term, the sexism on the fans' part. Whenever Lana or Nikki Bella or Michelle McCool, I think there's one more person, whenever they were out there, the fans started chanting for their significant others.
Oh, okay.
You know, with Lana, it was Rusev Day. When Michelle McCool came out, the fans started chanting Undertaker.
Yeah, that came through on TV too. You could totally hear that.
Yeah, Nikki Bella, you know, there was Cena sucks chants, which were better than what I was afraid they were going to go in with that.
I mean, the whole place did the yes chant for Brie.
Oh, that's the other one. Yeah, Brie Bella got yes. She got the Daniel Bryan stuff. So, you know, that's a little disheartening, like, because you'd want these women to build on their own foundation instead of just riding the coattails of their significant other.
That's interesting.
What's that?
I was going to say that will be, and maybe at some point down the road, that'll be an interesting conversation to have. That kind of revert, you know, will there ever be a day when, you know, Lana gets more over than Rusev, and when Rusev I guess probably the only example of that I can think of off the top of my head would be Sable and Mark Mero, and that was, you know, 20 years ago, but
yeah.
it usually, as we saw in the Royal Rumble itself, you know, four women and all four of their significant others kind of leading the chance, if you will. So yeah, that's an interesting point. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Other than that, I think Ember Moon and Kairi Sane, Kairi Sane from NXT. I don't think there were really a lot of surprise female entrants. Like I think if you would have made a list of 15 former, you know, for lack of a better term, divas that would have made an appearance in this match, I think you probably could have nailed 8 out of the 12 that showed up.
Yeah, that's true. And I think a lot of them being on Raw 25 the other night, too.
Yeah, I will say, yeah, I think Vicky Guerrero was, like, the biggest surprise of the women's match.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I was surprised by Brie Bella, too, though, honestly.
I heard, I guess, people that watch Total Divas or Total Bellas.
Uh-huh.
That, I have a coworker who watches it, and she's like, yeah, they kind of ruined it because they said on the show, you know, what would be a good time would be to come back and do a Rumble through Mania schedule. So maybe we're going to get that. There was something else that I was going to mention with the women's match. It just, with Lita coming out so early,
You all right there?
Yeah, sorry, Mike. I'm still in the car parked, but it's telling me the car's going to be shut off. Hopefully I don't lose you.
Okay.
We'll see. With Lita coming out so early, I was expecting Trish to come out at some point and have Lita and Trish in the ring at the same time.
Yeah, because they never were they?
No, they were not. And so, yeah, I kind of forgot about even Trish being in the match. And then when Trish did come out, though, she and Mickie James had a face-off, which, that was the main event, or the women's title match at WrestleMania 22 that we saw. So I was waiting for them to recreate parts of that match, which they probably were not going to do.
Yes.
I will say I was surprised that Asuka won. I just thought they had her be too dominant on Raw, so I thought she would lose here. And
yeah.
I've never been so fearful in my life as the time when the 10-second countdown clock popped up for number 30, because I was like, is it going to be Stephanie, or is it going to be the other person that is rumored to be showing up tonight? And then when it turned out to be, Trish Stratus, yeah, I was like, breathe a big sigh of relief, like, okay, let's get through this. And then, I kind of expected Nikki Bella to win it as a surprise, because going with both Asuka and Nakamura just seemed too inconceivable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can understand that. I was glad they didn't. When it came down to the final four, I I'm not a huge Asuka fan. I'm not a Sasha Banks fan at all, and I don't really care much for the Bellas either. So when it came to that final four, I was pretty disappointed. But as the final four was kind of going on, as I mentioned, we were watching on a delay, and somebody had looked at their phone and said, "Oh, so and so," and we'll just put it out there now because everybody's watched it by now. Somebody said Ronda Rousey has signed a deal with WWE, and that's all they said.
Okay.
And not knowing what was about to still happen. So what was the crowd reaction like when Ronda came out?
So Asuka wins, and then she's in the ring, and then they had real quick, going back to the men's match, when Nakamura won, I don't know how this came off on TV, but he like sat on the turnbuckle and pointed up to the sign, and the guys around the ring, the stagehand, like pointed to him, like, no, like pointing, like, go back. And Renee Young was in the ring. They were trying to get him over to her so she could ask him.
Yeah.
And then once she was done answering, then they like, now go to the turnbuckle, point. And so then he did it again. So when Asuka won, you could see him like go over to Charlotte and Alexa Bliss, and like be like, okay, go in the ring now. And so they went to the ring, and the crowd's chanting, and I think everybody was like, okay, show's over, just waiting for him, you know, to leave. And then pops up on the Titantron, Ronda Rousey, and her song hits, and the place just, the roof was blown off. Like, I think everybody expected it, but didn't expect it. Like, I think they expected it during the Rumble, and then when it didn't happen, they're like, okay, it's not going to.
Should she have been in the Rumble?
What's that?
Should she have been in the Rumble, do you think?
I think they could have, but I think it's better that she wasn't, just because it builds a little bit more mystique, whereas now, if you would have put her in the Rumble, you would have either had to put her over or have her lose, going to put Asuka in that position. You know, I think the way they did it was probably the better way.
I agree. People at the party were like, well, why wouldn't you put her in? Why wouldn't you put her in? But it makes sense. You, if you're not going to have her win, and you're also trying to tell the story of Asuka being this dominant female, how they did it did make sense. I'm curious to see where they're going to go from here, though, who Asuka will pick, because at least the TV crowd, we never heard who Asuka picked. Ronda just pointed at the WrestleMania sign and had attempted to shake hands with Asuka. So it's interesting to see where they're going to go. What do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. That's the thing is I think I would rather see Asuka versus Charlotte Flair.
I agree. But I'd also rather see Rousey versus Flair too.
And going back to fantasy booking, because knowing that the rumor was that Rousey was going to be there or good chance, I was expecting Sasha and Becky and Bayley all to be in the ring at the same time, and then Shayna Baszler to be a surprise NXT entrant. And then Rousey comes in, and so you have like the four horsewomen of WWE with Rousey and Baszler in there, and kind of start playing up that aspect of it, you know, kind of teasing it. But when she didn't come out by number 30, I didn't expect Rousey to show up tonight and at that point. And yeah, I don't know where they're going to go with her. I would almost say, I don't think she should be thrown straight into a title match. I would say maybe put her in there against Sasha. Give Sasha something to do and start building Rousey up to either SummerSlam or Survivor Series before the title match.
Yeah.
Because I think your money is in the build, not just hot-shotting the match. Because I've always said, when the Giant came into WCW and they put the title on him in his first match, he has nowhere to go but down from there.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that they'll do that though. I think they'll hotshot it and she'll be against whoever Asuka doesn't pick at Mania.
Yeah.
But yeah, I totally agree. So overall, what is your final score, final grade, if you will, for the Royal Rumble?
You know, it's tough because I think both Rumble matches delivered, but I think the other matches good, but not great. So I would probably go B, but A. I would say A plus for the men's Rumble and a solid A for the women's Rumble.
I was going to say the exact same thing. I think the undercard fell kind of flat, but yeah, I would give the overall, you know, I would give it a B as well. And I think they have definitely piqued my interest enough with some of the ambiguity, whatever the word is, you know what I'm trying to say. It's late and I'm trying to use big words, with the women's situation that, and the surprise of Rousey coming out, because I think people expected her in the match itself. And as we said, that didn't happen. So yeah, I was overall impressed and glad that, I stayed up late to watch.
Yeah, I am glad that I felt it was worth the time and money to come out and see it live, and I'm glad that I did. And this is the only Rumble, although, you know, Rumble next year is in Phoenix, much closer. You came out for WrestleMania in Phoenix. If you don't come out for Survivor Series this year, then maybe you can come out for the Rumble.
I might do.
Definitely, I can say I did not walk away from any show this weekend being like, why did I go to this?
Well, good. I'm glad that you enjoyed it all. And as we kind of wrap things up, what's coming up on Positive Cynicism?
This week, on Tuesday, a new episode is the first installment of of Wonder Why. It's where my good friend Mike DeKalb and I break down one-hit wonders and try to discern why these bands only had one hit. And we take the album that their one hit is from and listen, you know, break it down track by track and try to reimagine ourselves in the time when the album came out to see if there's anything else that could have been a hit. This week's episode is Men Without Hats and the Safety Dance. So
very cool.
All right, got that coming up the next 2 weeks. I'm up trying to get on a kind of a rotating schedule of themes for each episode. I'm still working out the first 2 weeks of the month, and then third week will be a new series called Question Everything, which is me doing interviews. And the first one that I have lined up is probably the podcast host that we pimp the most. Tom Skull, co-host of Tom and Jim's Top 5, had to get a plug in here at one point for him. And he also does the, I believe it is called the Skull Buster WrestleCast.
There you go. Did
and
you write that down?
At Skull Buster Pod.
Yes.
So, so he's going to be on the show in February. I'm curious to talk to him and get to know him a little bit better. See what, you know, what he has planned for his podcast this year. And then, it'll be the next episode of Wonder Why at the end of February. So, yeah, that's what we got coming up on Positive Cynicism.
All right. Well, I also want to mention real quick, too, Stride Pro Wrestling returns this Saturday night, February 3rd. If you are in the Southern Illinois area, come on out. We are back at the Illinois Star Center Mall. Big Bull Bronson getting a championship match against Jay Spade. So be sure to join us again. Bell time is 6:30. Chad, anything else you want to say before we say goodnight?
I really need to fire my travel agent because whoever booked a 6:30 flight out the day after a East Coast pay-per-view is not a very good travel agent.
I agree. You go get some sleep. Everybody, thanks so much for listening. Have a great week, and we'll talk again soon.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.